Welcome to the Voice of One Witness with Dr. Billy Brim. This month, Dr. Brim is joined by her daughter Shelley discussing the mysteries of Christmas.
Shalom. I'm Billy Brim. This is my daughter Shelley. You know, the prophets had prophesied that he was coming. And when he came, angels filled the sky. Myriads of angels.
Yes.
And there were in the same country, Luke chapter 2, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth shalom, goodwill toward men. Praise the Lord. At this season, we want to talk about angels. They're all throughout this book. And Shelley, they're even all throughout our lives and the lives of people we know. I have it almost all written, really, to tell you the truth. And soon be coming out with a book on angels.
Good.
The witness of the people I know.
How exciting. Good,
it's not just like I advertised and said, if you have an angel story.
No.
But all of these angel stories are people I know.
There's the difference.
And one of the chapters is Jerry Savelle.
What about Jerry Savelle?
So everybody...
Do you know Jerry Savelle?
I know Jerry Savelle. How we all do love Jerry Savelle. And I want Shelley to read to you, this is one of the chapters in Jerry's own words of this amazing encounter with angels.
This is how Jerry tells it. He said, My grandfather, who lived in Oklahoma City, had passed away. And we went up for the homegoing memorial. I had to be back home in Texas that same night because I was going somewhere with Brother Copeland the next day. I filled up my car with gas and headed home. Carolyn, his wife, and their daughters were asleep, the girls, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was driving along out in the boondocks at Oklahoma when I ran over something in the highway. I don't know what it was, but it hit the bottom of my car. It sounded like the bottom came out. It woke up Carolyn. What was that? She said. I don't know, I said. I hit something in the road. We're okay. We'll just go on back to sleep. So she laid over to do just that. I continued to drive along, and then I looked at my gas gauge. I could actually see the needle moving. Whatever I ran over knocked a hole in my gas tank.
1 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yes, uh-huh. Out in the boondocks.
Right.
The boonies. I was out in the middle of nowhere. 1 o'clock in the morning, I ran out of gas and pulled off the side of the road into the shoulder. I didn't know how far it was to the next town, and I really didn't want to start walking and leave my family out there on that highway by themselves. I hadn't seen traffic in a long time. So we just started praying in the Spirit.
Praying in tongues.
I said, God, we need help, and I know you can. I know you will. I don't know how you're going to do it, but we need help. So we sat there and continued to pray in the Spirit for a while. In a little while, I saw headlights in my rearview mirror. I got out and saw that it was a car or truck coming. I flagged the guy down. He was in a pickup truck. He pulled right up behind me. He asked, What happened? And I told him. And he said, Well, I could take you to the next town. I asked, Well, how far is it? Oh, about 19 miles. He towed me. Then we got off the highway.
He towed the truck?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then we got off the highway, and right over on the left-hand side of this little dirt road-looking thing that was one little service station, and it was a little cafe, and that was it.
A little service station?
And a little cafe, and they were both closed. But this guy towed me right up in front of the service station. He got out of his truck. He reached in his pocket, got out a set of keys.
Ah.
And then he opened the door of that gas station. He flipped the light on. And then he opened the door to the garage area, and he flipped that light on as well. Well, he raised the overhead door. He and I pushed my car into the shop area, and he repaired my gas tank.
Right there at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. He pushed the car back outside. Not only that, but he filled my car with gasoline and would not let me pay for anything. Not the gasoline, not the repair job, not anything. He shut off the lights, locked everything up, and he said, "Just glad to be of help to you." I said, "Thank you, sir." And then he said, and I'll never forget these words, he said, "I was just glad to be of help to you. That's what I'm here for." So obviously we had a miracle right there in the middle of the highway. Okay, so we got home. About 6 months later, the church in Oklahoma City asked me to come back. I was going to drive up there myself. I told my wife, Carolyn, "On the way up there, I'm going to stop at that little service station and thank that man again because he saved our lives that night." And all the way up there, I was watching, trying to find that little spot, and I found it. "There's the gas station," I said to myself, "and there's the cafe." I went into the cafe and I asked, "Sir, do you know the man that owns the gas station?" And he said, "Son, that gas station hasn't been operative in years."
In years.
And that angel came, flipped on the lights, did a little repair service.
And filled his tank with gas. What gasoline that must have been, because you know if that service station hadn't been in service, there was no gas down in those tanks.
No.
Reminds me of angels unaware.
Yes.
Be careful to entertain strangers.
Yes.
For some have entertained angels unaware. That means you didn't know they were angels.
No, they might have been dressed like, you know, the guy next door or
right.
The repairman. I think they come dressed for the occasion, whatever their assignment may be. To help us.
Isn't that marvelous? And then another one that it thinks of that I'm thinking of is Hebrews 1:14.
Mm-hmm.
The angel, disguised as a man, said,
"I was just glad to be of help to you. That's what I'm here for."
It is written in Hebrews 1:14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation?"
Yes.
He was ministering for Jerry.
He sure was.
He was getting that done for him.
It's so marvelous. You know, no telling what they prayed in the spirit. You
no
know,
telling.
They sat there a little bit. But whatever that was, the spirit and the economy of God and working with angels. I know I saw one angel in the hospital, and she looked like a little black nurse, you know.
You were dying.
I was dying, and she had
They said she'd be dead by morning.
Yeah, and she had a bottle of medicine and a big spoon.
And she told you to take it.
She woke me up. She said, "Take it." And I said, "I finally get sleep in this hospital and you wake me up." She goes, "Well, you need to take your medicine." She's so sweet. So I did. And the next morning, the doctor...
What did it look like?
Well, she was a darling little short lady.
What about the medicine? What did it look like?
Well, it was a bottle about this high.
A big bottle.
Yeah, and it had shoulders to it,
uh-huh.
And it had a long neck.
Uh-huh.
And when she poured it out in the spoon, it was purple. With a little bit of sparkle. And I said, "That looks terrible. I'm not going to have it."
And Shelley was hurting really badly. She just wanted to die.
Yep. And I hadn't eaten anything in 2 weeks, so that was just not the way to break the fast. But you know what? I tasted that moment. It was delicious. It was so good. It was delicious. And she just had a great attitude. So, long story short.
The next morning.
Yeah, the next morning, there was a big meeting between the specialist on my case and the nurses, and he was wanting to know who had administered something to me without his approval.
Yes.
And what happened was medical science could prove, because they were constantly testing uh-huh. my blood.
Toxin. She had 3 strains of hospital staff.
And they could prove that the spark of life had come into my blood about 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's just interesting.
Little angel.
So I told them about that angel and the medicine, and they said, this is a modern hospital. We do not administer medicine.
Spoons full of medicine.
No, we don't. Isn't that funny?
They do it through the IVs.
Yes, exactly. But she was dressed for the occasion.
And I'm thinking of another case, Shelley. It was your brother, Chip.
Yes.
And we were in California. We'd had a meeting with Brother Copeland. We'd spoken at his West Coast Believers meeting. And your dad had just gone to heaven. And Chip was having a challenge with it. He had just graduated from college, and he was counting on he was going to be a coach, and he wanted his dad to help him, and his heart was broken. And so he's in the room, and he's in the room with Stephen Houle, who had worked for Willie George at that time. And he'd worked all day. Stephen had worked all day in the bookstore sales, you know. Was tired. Chip was, and they were in bed at night. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and they heard a banging on the door, of this hotel room. And Chip opens his eyes. He can't get up. He can't move. And he looks over in the corner of the room, and there in the corner of the room is the glory. The glory cloud. It's rolling. It's sparkling. It's light. And he's pinned down and can't move. And here is banging on the door, banging on the door. And he said, "Steve, open the door." And Stephen was just waking up groggy, and he's so upset. He opens the door, and there, it was in a Hyatt hotel, I think, and there was a man dressed in the dress of a Hyatt workman. "We came to bring you your towels you ordered." Stephen slammed the door, and it says, "We didn't order any towels." And then Stephen called downstairs, and he said, "What is this you sending up to people to give us towels at 3 o'clock in the morning?" And they said, "We didn't send anybody up. All of our towels are locked up at midnight. All of our people from that department have gone home." But there had been this little guy who was an angel unaware.
Yes.
His assignment. He had been banging on that door so they wouldn't miss the glory.
Right. They had to be awakened
to see it. And then that glory then moved over on Chip and really did a job and prepared him. He's now preaching the gospel today.
Thank
you, Lord. To tell you another angel story.
Please do.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Fun.
This is one of my favorite ones. Shelley, do you agree that my father was one of the most wonderful fathers ever?
Your father was a real father.
He was a wonderful father.
He had the ability to make you feel as if you were the most wonderful child or grandchild on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
He would call you my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You had his attention.
Yeah. He didn't look over your shoulder and try to get to someone else. And his father died when he was only 19 days old. His own father, William F. Combs, was killed in an accident in a cotton gin that his father owned in Coweta, Oklahoma. And my grandmother, Nanny Pickard Combs, remarried when Daddy was only 2. And her new husband was William David Cody. And what about Grandpa Cody?
Now, he was a wonderful, wonderful grandfather.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about him because the angel story involves him and involves my dad. You need to know what kind of people they were.
We all have that friend who always has something negative to say about Christmas, or one who believes it's a pagan holiday and just doesn't celebrate it at all. Wouldn't you love to be able to give them a tool that would unwrap all of these common misconceptions, or be so studied on the subject that you could teach the truth in love? Now you can. The Mysteries of Christmas Unwrapped are 4 television broadcast messages where Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim open the Word of God and expound on Jewish history and culture to answer questions like, why is it right to celebrate on December 25th? When was Jesus actually born? Why do we worship on Sundays? And many more. These powerful teachings are available on CD or DVD by calling 1-800-972-3447 or logging on to billybrim.org. Be ready to unwrap the mysteries of Christmas. Join Dr. Billy Brim and the Worldwide Prayers every Wednesday at noon Central for a time of Spirit-led prayer. This gathering is held on the beautiful landscape of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. You are invited to attend in person or our live stream at billybrim.org.
Thank you for listening today. Stay connected with Billy Brim Ministries by going to billybrim.org or following us on all social media, Dr. Billy Brim. Shalom, shalom.